I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. We are a week out from the Iowa caucuses and the official start of the 2020 presidential election campaign season. And there are still questions about the Iowa results. Next up is the New Hampshire primary to take place on Tuesday, February 11. Reporter Julia Bergman followed a group of campaign volunteers from Connecticut as they conducted door-to-door canvassing on a recent weekend for some of the Democratic candidates. She joins me this week to talk about that trip.
Yeah, I think our first door is there, that yellow house, actually. Oh, cool. 162 Jewett. How many doors are in yours, David?
44 doors, 55 people.
Okay, I have 53 doors, 66 people. There's 191.
Julia, you spent some time in New Hampshire last week, following around some volunteers from Connecticut as they did door-to-door canvassing for presidential candidates. Who did you go out there with, or who did you meet, and what were they doing, and why were they out there?
Yeah, so during the first weekend of February, I followed around volunteers with Bernie Sanders' campaign and also with Elizabeth Warren campaign. So, you know, Connecticut's primary is until the end of April. This was a state where it was easy for people to drive to, you know, within a couple of hours, especially southern New Hampshire, where they could go up and knock on doors and sort of make the case for their presidential candidate of choice. So I followed them around as they did that. And, you know, as you could maybe imagine, on a Saturday afternoon, there was a lot of unanswered doors. I think one of the volunteers with Warren's campaign estimated that maybe he had a 35 to 40% contact rate.
So a lot of unanswered doors.
Yeah. But then, of course, there were conversations with voters who were undecided. There were conversations with voters, you know, maybe leaning one way or the other, or those who were, you know, pretty sure about who they were going to vote for. And the goal was to really get out the vote at that point. You know, they had kind of felt like they had cultivated the support and that this focus at this point was really on making sure that people had a plan to get to the polls and we're going to actually vote on election day. Or I'm sorry, well, yes, for primary election day.
Right, which is tomorrow.
Right, which is tomorrow, Tuesday, February 11th.
Obviously, they encountered a lot of closed doors, but what was the general takeaway, did you get a chance to talk to them, how they felt about the canvassing, if it was a success or?
One of the people that I followed around for, Warren, made the comment that, you know, technology has creeped into a lot of things, including obviously the political process, but that there's still really no substitute for knocking on someone's door and having a conversation.
But I hope that my presence there helped persuade her. And that's the whole idea of canvassing. With technology and everything, politics has changed. But one thing that hasn't changed is you got to go to a person eye to eye and ask for support. And sure. So door knocking is essential.
He, for example, knocked on a door of a woman who said that if the vote was that day that she would vote for Warren, but that she was still undecided. She actually had a car with bumper stickers for a number of Democratic candidates like Cory Booker, who wasn't even in the race at that point. Klobuchar, Sanders, Warren. She also had one of those Anyone But Trump 2020 signs. So, you know, this volunteer for Warren, you know, kind of was talking to her about, you know, why Warren and that kind of thing. And I think he went away with that hope from that conversation, hoping that her having that in-person conversation with him helped sway.
Sway her.
And then the two people that two of the people that I followed around who were campaigning for Sanders both felt donating is nice. One of them had donated, I think, back in 2016 when Sanders ran, and then again more recently, and just said, but, you know, this really made him feel sort of involved in the process and something sort of greater that he could do than just donating money to the campaign.
It's not my first time canvassing, but going to another state to canvass for a presidential candidate, yes.
And why this time did you feel like it was you wanted to do that?
I think, like Chris said, I donated money in 2016. I donated money this year. Connecticut's also a state that doesn't, unfortunately, our primary is late in the season. So I've done some canvassing in the New Haven area, but to be this close to a state that has an early primary and where we can make an impact, I think I felt like I had to do it.
Where were the volunteers from in Connecticut?
So they're from a few different areas. There was a group actually from New London and Groton elected officials, James Burke, who's on the city council, and Jeff Hart, who is on the board of ed. And then some of the others that I followed around were from Fairfield area, East Haven, Manchester, Connecticut, not Manchester, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So kind of from all over the state. And what's happening is that you have these volunteers organizing carpools with people who are sort of nearby them. There was also a large contingent of students who came up from Wesleyan in Middletown, and they were campaigning, the ones that I talked to were campaigning both for Sanders and Warren.
We're just going around talking to you and your neighbors about the presidential campaign. We got you for Bernie? What about Courtney?
Yeah, she's not here. I believe she's right on.
Okay. Is there any questions that you have about anything? You're with Bernie, though. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep. So you briefly mentioned technology, and we just saw that at the Iowa caucuses, technology became part of the headline. It caused a lot of delay, and there's been a lot of written about it, about how some people have called the Iowa caucuses disastrous, and a big part of it was some of the issues with technology. What kind of technology were these volunteers using in New Hampshire?
Yeah, so I actually was shocked by this, although I guess I shouldn't, as a millennial who uses a lot of technology and knows that technology kind of is involved in everything that we do. But the canvassers all had an app that they used called Minivan. My understanding is it's been used by Democratic campaigns for a little while now. And essentially, it's an app on their phone. It shows them sort of the territory that they're covering. It shows them, you know, the number of houses, the number of people in those houses, and then various levels of identifying information about the people behind the doors that they're knocking on, like their names, age. In some cases, it might have included notes if they were contacted by somebody by the campaign before, sometimes whether they were leaning towards a certain candidate. And then the canvassers, after they had an interaction with somebody, could jot down their own notes. If somebody was undecided, that kind of pinged somebody from the campaign to go back and talk to that person again, you know, before the primary. I guess they kind of always had a lot of this information at their fingertips, but, now it's all in a digital format that, you know, they can kind of easily type into this app.
So what kind of information do you see on the app?
So I marked him and he's going to vote. He's supporting Bernie. And then I'm going to go in and mark his wife as well. She wasn't there, but she said that she was with Bernie and that they're well informed on the issues.
So, as we mentioned, the New Hampshire primary vote is tomorrow, Tuesday, February the 11th. Have you seen some of the latest polls come out?
WBZ, the Boston Globe, and Suffolk University put out a poll, I think came out Sunday night, showing Sanders in the lead with about 27%. Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend, having 19%, and then Amy Klobuchar with 14% of the vote. So, and Sanders has been, you know, in the polls that I've kind of been looking at since going up there and even just before going up there, the first weekend of February, he was really starting to gain in the polls. Right. And
Buttigieg has been moving up.
And then, you know, I was also following around, obviously, Warren's supporters, and she was she was seeing a slight decrease, as was Buttigieg at that time, but then he has seemed to, since then, has started to do better in the polls.
So leaving New Hampshire, did they have any sense, did they express any concerns or hope for their candidates? Did they talk at all about that?
I think particularly for the volunteer who, for Warren, really felt it was important for her to do well in these early primaries just to kind of make a statement. I think, you know, in the larger context, obviously these are not a lot of, there's not a large number of delegates at stake in either Iowa or New Hampshire, but I think it's more of sort of a messaging win for people. He was sort of explaining it to be able to say, you know, come out early and show that you're really doing well. And he was kind of concerned about, Sanders. It seemed like a lot of people who were kind of on the fence were in between Warren and Sanders in New Hampshire.
Elizabeth Warren is from Massachusetts, and this is a neighboring state, and she needs to do very well. So what we've done is mobilize Connecticut to make them understand that our primary is a long way off, April 28th. There's an eternity of time between February 11th and April 28th, and hopefully she does well here. And then we'll start organizing for Massachusetts, which is Super Tuesday, beginning of March, and start organizing, getting people that are not willing to drive up to start canvassing in Connecticut.
And so, yeah, that volunteer for Warren, Steve Sheinberg, he's a member of the Democratic Town Council in Fairfield. He was explaining to me also what's unique about New Hampshire as opposed to Connecticut is that New Hampshire has an open primary, and so they recognize, the state recognizes three major political affiliations, Republican, Democrat, and undeclared. So, you know, undeclared meaning you're not formally aligned with either party. And if you want to vote in the primary in New Hampshire, any undeclared voter can participate in either party's primary. But if you're registered as a Republican, you have to, you have to be a registered Republican to vote in the Republican primary and a registered Democrat to vote in the Democratic primary. But if you are undeclared, you can vote in either of those. But whereas in Connecticut, we have a closed party system here, closed primary system. So you have to register with a party
to
be able to vote in a primary election.
Though you see people talk about temporarily registering for either party.
Yeah, yeah, you have cases like that, right, where you, before the deadline, you switch to a party so that you're able to vote for a candidate.
So what's next for the campaign volunteers?
So they were mentioning that the next big push would be, Super Tuesday, particularly the supporter for Warren was saying, you know, Massachusetts, obviously, her home state, that would be a big push there, that he would be going up there to campaign. And then really the focus starts, turning on Connecticut for the primary at the end of April. It's April 28th. Then there would be a real push to canvass, here in Connecticut.
What other states are voting on Super Tuesday?
Yeah, so on March 3rd, otherwise known as Super Tuesday, it'll be Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, as I mentioned, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. So they'll all hold their presidential primaries on that date. And, I think that's obviously when you're really going to start to see support coalesce around a certain candidate, or maybe, we'll start to see a front runner.
Right, and the field will most likely start thinning shortly after that.
Right.
Sure. I'd also say that it's a bad system when you have two states, Iowa and New Hampshire, with 1% of the delegates, 26 or so in Iowa, 30-something in New Hampshire, start the process, and it really should be 4 or 5 regional primaries, and you rotate every 4 years which region of the country gets it. So you could say Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, SEC, that's South, Midwest, Mountains, West Coast. And it should be a system like that.